Hey everyone, this is Wendy Lipton-Dibner, president of Professional Impact and author of the best-selling book, Shatter Your Speed Limits. I am here committed to help you to take your message and send it out in the world so that you can make a greater difference than you can ever make alone every day in your practice. My goal is to make sure that no matter what happens in your day-to-day practice life, you as a doctor can get out in the world and make sure that everyone really gets the kind of help that you want them to have, whether you are writing a book, whether you're speaking, or whether you're out there doing seminars. What we want to do is make sure that your doctor story gets heard. Now, today we're here focusing on books, and I'm here with a woman who I just think is unbelievably wonderful. I had the opportunity to meet her several years ago, and over the past few years, I have just become more and more intrigued with something about her that makes her really, really special. And you're going to see that today on this call. I'm here with Marilyn Allen. Marilyn is a partner in the Allen O'Shea Literary Agency, and she is the co-author of the new book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Book Proposals and Query Letters. So, Marilyn, let's just jump right in. You've had so much experience in the publishing industry. Would you take a few minutes and just explain to everyone listening today a little bit about your background and how you became a literary agent?
Absolutely. Wendy, thank you so much for the kind words and for having me participate in this seminar today. It is my sincere pleasure. I think the thing that makes me the happiest is helping writers find their own success and their own voice. I started out of college as a bookstore manager and eventually moved to New York City and became very involved in publishing for quite a few years. I was a vice president, Wendy, at Penguin, and then I went on to Simon & Schuster. I was a vice president there, worked for several other companies. And my last job, I was associate publisher and head of marketing for the adult division of HarperCollins. And the cool thing about that job was I got to manage all the major brands for HarperCollins, John Gray and Dr. Laura Schlesinger, and NBA Books and NASCAR and the Peanuts brand and the Dilbert. We did 850 new adult books a year.
Wow.
And so I thought it gave me enormous experience in what sort of converted to book sales, what consumers were looking for. And at that point in my life, I had another baby, and I decided it was time to spend more time at home. And I also decided working with writers. And that is why I wanted to start a literary agency, which I did, Wendy, about 10 or 11 years ago.
You've really worked with some very big names out there.
Oh, yes. It was great, great experience. And,
yeah, wow, exciting. I knew you were a great person and so talented and so many great ideas, but I didn't know you were just, like, really up there in the elite. Wow, I'm even more honored now.
Well, you're fun. And after all that publishing experience, I decided to start this agency. And I have one partner, Colleen O'Shea. We had worked together many years ago, and I loved her ability to edit books. And I think to the partnership, I brought sort of marketing and sales and positioning experience. And we really focus on nonfiction categories. We occasionally represent fiction, but our specialty are the categories of health and business and parenting and cooking and all those good, strong categories that sell all the time and where readers are looking for new ideas and new topics. And we just absolutely love what we do. Have I given you enough of my background there?
Yeah, I love it. And, you know, just loving what you do comes through in everything you do, Marilyn. I think that's why I was so completely drawn to you, because your passion is always there. And that's one of the things that we talk about with our doctors all the time, is that it really is the passion that sells people on you. I mean, here I have been following Marilyn Allen's career for the last few years, gaga, excited, dying to work with her, and I knew nothing about her background, folks. So you need to understand how someone's passion for for what they do can connect you to them, even if they don't have any idea about what makes you so credible. So I find this fascinating. Well, let's take the mystique out of this whole literary agent thing. Marilyn, what is a literary agent, and what specifically can you do for an author, and also what can't you do?
That seems to be the question most people ask me. I compare literary agents in a way to real estate agents. We're the people sort of in the middle brokering deals. We're bringing buyers and sellers together. I think the big difference is that literary agents work with the writers and they represent the writers. They help them position their work and polish it and get it together. And then they go out and they meet with editors and publishers in the hopes of finding a deal for the authors. Sometimes we work the reverse way, too. More and more I have editors calling me up and saying, you know, Marilyn, I'd like to do a book on anti-inflammation or how to reverse diabetes. And I will go out and look for experts and help put a team together for the publishers. So it can work both ways.
Very cool. So, Marilyn, everyone who's listening to this interview today is interested in becoming an author. So let's just cut to the bottom line question that they all are asking, which is, what's going on out there? What's happening in the world of publishing? I mean, we see bookstores closing right and left. I mean, is there any opportunity out there at all for aspiring new authors?
Oh, I think there's a ton. There's always going to be readers. And I say all the time, there's a huge hungry world of people looking to buy books. And there's a lot of talented writers or professionals or experts that have something to say. And the trouble at the moment is the bookstores, which are the bridge, if you will, is sort of falling into the river. But we're just going to have to figure out a way to link these two great groups of people together. I was playing bridge last night, Wendy, and a publisher of a very major house told me that on some of her lead titles, 50% of the sales are coming from e-books now.
Right.
So that part of the business is absolutely exploding. And I think you raised a very good question. I think we all have to lower our expectations at the moment. We all have to get really smarter about marketing. And more it comes to the author to have a really smart platform together, a way to reach their community, an idea of how they're going to be able to help a publisher sell books. And we sell a lot of books right now. It's just a matter of having a smart platform ready to go when we go out with the project.
Now, do you represent these e-books also to publishers?
Absolutely. Yeah. And at the moment, most publishers are doing books and e-books. They call them P-books, so P and e-books, if you will, at the same time.
Right.
I think the exception, there still seems to be some trouble converting some of the cookbooks and the heavily illustrated books to e-books. And that's going to be solved quickly. But certain categories, we see very strong e-book sales, thrillers, business books, health books. So I think it's just a new way of looking at the world, and I'm sure the music people had to think about it just a couple years ago.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So for all of you listening, please understand that an e-book isn't cheating, and it isn't wussing out. It's not like writing a little comic book versus writing a big book. A book is a book, and now the question is, how will it be delivered to the readers? Will it be delivered in something that you can put in your pocket and flip through the pages, or will it be delivered in something you can put in your pocket and push buttons to move the pages? That's the only difference.
That's exactly right, and in fact, simultaneous publication of both ways is the model at the moment.
Right.
And whether somebody buys it as an ebook from Kindle or goes into Barnes & Noble and buys a printed book, it doesn't matter. It's the same product.
Right. Right. And so that's huge, you guys. Everybody listening to this, please understand, don't be discouraged in any way, shape, or form. There's huge opportunity out there, and it's really just a question of what shape will your book take. So, Marilyn, many of our listeners are writing books for the healthcare industry.
Yes.
But the vast majority are writing for general public.
Mm-hmm.
So give us a peek behind the curtains and tell us, what do publishers really want?
Well, publishers obviously want books that sell, and I think at the core you have to remember it is a business. I see a lot of writers coming up and going, this is something I've always wanted to do or always wanted to say. That's not going to move a publisher. They have to know there's an audience out there. And I think one of the smart things people can do is to really research before they put their pen to paper or start hitting their keyboard. Spend some time on Amazon. Look at what's in the marketplace. Do you have something new to say? Is there a big enough audience for what you want to say? Is there new material, cutting-edge science, research you want to share? And how are you going to reach that community? So think of it as a business. Do your homework first and be prepared to persuade a publisher that people will want to plop down $25 for your book.
I love what you're saying here. And I'd like to just kind of expand on one thing you said for a second and ask you about it, if that's okay.
Sure.
You said, do you have something new to say? And I think that's really a critical piece of this puzzle. I know one particular of my clients is writing a nutrition weight loss book. Now, if you go on Amazon, you're going to see 5,000 million, I'm exaggerating,
that's
weight
right.
loss nutrition books. So should you know, the client then be discouraged and say, oh, my gosh, you know, there's all these books out there already. Why would I add mine to the puzzle? So how do you determine that what you have to say really is new without doing, you know, 12 years of research?
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point. There are certain categories, Wendy, diet, pregnancy books, parenting books, buying a house, SAT, you can almost imagine where people tend to buy a lot of them. Mm-hmm. It's a defining moment in your life. You're willing to invest money, and you'll buy a lot. There are also those categories where people every year, every 6 months, go out and buy the new diet book. The key in an area like that is to figure out a new framework. I was watching Dr. Phil the other day, and he had on his friend with the 17-day diet. Now, I guarantee you, Wendy, there's probably very little in there that's new. And I scratched my head and thought, why 17 days? Why not 2 weeks, 14? Why not a month? I'm sure whatever the thinking is explained in the book. And the clunky point I'm trying to make here is that's a new framework.
Right.
I'm right now looking to do a book on the healthiest carbs, for example. And I think if you can pull out a trend, I have a book on anti-glycemic index that sells like crazy. I'm looking at my shelves. Books on nutrition, I'm selling lots of things right now on vegan and plant-based diet and how to become a vegetarian. So sometimes it's a matter of developing a fresh approach, figuring out a framework that's new. Maybe you focus on the hormones. Maybe you focus on grazing. You see what I'm saying? It's
totally.
Sort of marketing intersected with a fresh approach.
I love it. And I hope all of you are getting this because I don't want you to feel discouraged. I made this mistake. And those of you who are at our Orlando event, you heard my story. I made the mistake of having great ideas and then looking in bookstores and seeing that other people had written on my topic and saying, oh, well, I guess I can't do that. And I lost so many years, and I have manuscripts sitting on my shelves that I never did anything with because I got discouraged because there was one other person who had written a book about it already. I'm telling you, there is room in this world for more than one approach, and your perspective, folks, is what makes you unique. So please bring it on. So let's get back to our guest, Marilyn. You have just published a brand new book,
yes,
along with your partner to help authors get at all of this by writing proposals and queries. And again, the book is called The Complete Idiot's Guide, I love that, to Book Proposals and Query Letters. I am so excited about this book. All of you, it's available on Amazon.com. Just go grab it. It's ready now, right, Marilyn?
Yes, it is. It just went on sale this week. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about the book.
Well, it's so funny because this is for a division of Penguin, and my partner and I, we were getting the same sort of questions over and over and over. What makes a good query letter? Can I submit it electronically? What's needed in a proposal? How do I research the competition? And we felt like we were saying the same things over and over, and not that we mind that, but we felt like if people could get a leg up by reading a lot about these two major components of the submission process, it would elevate the dialogue. When they came to us, we could be talking at a higher level about their projects. And our intent, honestly, is to just sort of help people. And we sat down and we wrote this book with this simple notion of the world has changed. There's a lot of publishers receiving things electronically. They expect different things than in the old days. And we tried to give the current trends in this book on what writers should do to be the best prepared they possibly can for the submission process.
I love this. You know, one of the questions that I get all the time is they say it typically takes, 18 months from concept to publication to actually get your book out there, right?
That's right.
So when did you actually write this book? I mean, you say it's current trend, so how long did it take to get it out there, and is it still current?
Well, yes. It just came out this week, so I'm sure there's things I'll change in the reprint, but you have to sort of put your stick in the sand somewhere and stake it out. And I think we're addressing the big trends of e-books, of electronic submissions, of emailing, and that kind of thing, so that's the big change from 20 years ago. It took us about 3 months to write the book, and we actually did this kind of on a crash schedule so that we could get it done as quickly as possible.
I love it. So do you love your book?
Yeah, absolutely. Like anybody, you look at it and you think, oh, I could have done this better.
Uh-huh.
But overall, I'm really happy with it. And I think there's a lot of good tips. So I'm hoping people get a lot out of it.
Cool. Oh, I'm sure they will. You've really made it so simple and dumbed it down. And that's what we all need, because we're so caught in our content that we really don't know how to set it out there. And you've just made that so simple. Thank you so much for doing that.
Oh, my pleasure. And I think one of the key things people forget when they're writing a proposal, Wendy, and I remind you, we sell nonfiction from book proposals, that document is actually speaking to an editor, not the end reader.
Right.
That's the middle step, where you are persuading an editor that you have something to say, that you are worthy of being published, that you can reach an audience. And reaching the reader would be the step after that. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think it's important that we make a distinction for our listeners. When you say editor, you're not talking about the person who sits there with a pencil changing your words, right?
No, I'm talking about the acquisition editor at a publishing company who would make the decision to buy your book, to do a publishing deal with you.
Right. I still think of what was his name, Lou, on the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Oh, right, yes.
Yeah, I picture this big, overweight guy with a cigar sticking out of his mouth.
Yeah, like the old newspaper editors.
Yeah, right. You know, with this big rubber stamp that says, rejected. And it's you guys that make it that's less likely to happen. So what's the secret to all this? What is the secret to writing a great proposal? Can you just walk us through it a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. A proposal is actually sort of the blueprint of your book, but it has a lot of jobs to do. And I think the best way to sort of explain a nonfiction book proposal is to go through the pieces quickly.
Okay.
One of the most important things that you're going to include in your proposal is probably a 2-page overview. And this is, without a doubt, the hardest thing you're going to write. I call this the above sea level look at your book. And in this, an editor should actually be able to see what the book is going to be, why you're qualified to write it, who the audience would be, and probably key marketing. So that's the top line. You're also going to include in this proposal annotated table of contents. So you will list chapter summaries for each and every chapter of your book. In chapter one, for example, I plan to cover the diabetes and how we determined that you are at risk. In chapter two, I will cover this. So there might be like a paragraph, Wendy, under each chapter.
Got it.
Obviously, there's going to be some chapter samples. It probably should include two. Most publishers do not like to get the first one because it's too introductory. And don't be afraid to grab a chapter from the beginning and one later on that might demonstrate different features of your book.
Cool.
You're going to do a marketing page, and this is the part that I think you'll get the most out of from our book. The marketing page has got to really persuade that you can reach an audience, reach a community. Here you should list any major people you can get for reviews or forwards. And again, sometimes they'll have to read the book, but if you have a relationship, be sure to spell that out. This is where you'll list the websites that you run, the blogs, the Facebooks. In each and every case, list the specifics, especially if they're significant. I know Wiley loves people who have business newsletter of 50,000 or more. Those are the kind of numbers they're looking for. They want to see that you have a following. If you give speeches, quantify those and list them. You could actually attach your speaking schedule and the people, the kind of people that are in the room and the quantity of guests. If you belong to major organizations. So I hope you're getting a sense of this document will show an editor right away. This author is important in their community. They'll be able to reach a lot of people. And obviously, any magazine, newspaper, TV, radio work, you should detail in your marketing page.
You bet.
You'll also want to include your bio. If you're a doctor, you may well attach your whole CV at the end, but I like a writing bio that talks about the publishing you've done and your credentials, your top-line credentials in your field. What am I forgetting here? I should look through my own book. But so that gives you a sense of some of the key pieces.
I love
it. And there'll be a title page and a query letter that goes with all of that as well.
Okay. So authors should send query letters then along with the proposals.
Well, you know, we actually suggest you send query letters asking permission to send proposals.
Uh-huh.
With electronic submissions, there's no harm done in attaching it. But it's sort of a 1-2 process where most writers would query agents and say, is this something you're interested in? And that begins the dialogue. And I would answer back and say, oh, that's a topic that does interest me. Send me your proposal.
I love it. So,
yeah.
Okay, so that leads actually to my next question then. Should authors send query letters directly to publishers or should they go through a literary agent?
Well, you know, I'd like to make the case for agents because I think we earn our money. You know, we have great relationships in the city. We will help you at every step along the way, negotiating a contract, finding the right publishing house, navigating the complex world of publishing. Some writers are lucky or they know an editor, a publisher, or they have a relationship with a publishing company and they can do it on their own. That's fine. And some people think it's harder to get an agent than a publisher. I don't know about that. But for most new writers or busy professionals, I would say finding an agent is in their best interest.
Cool. Cool. Yeah, I have to agree with that 100%. So let's talk about literary agents for a moment. I mean, what advice would you give people about how to select a literary agent that's really right for them? I mean, it's more than just, does my topic interest you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, there are many good reference books. Jeff Herman, as you know, does one on book publishers, editors, and literary agents.
Yeah,
and
let me interrupt for 1 second. Folks, those of you who were in the Orlando workshop, that book is cited in your workbook. Those of you who have purchased the DVD program, that book is in your workbook. And for the rest of you, I'm sure you can find it online.
Absolutely. And I've known Jeff for years, and he does a very good job of listing a lot of literary agents and the categories that they're good at and what they enjoy working on. There are quite a few websites, and I've got a couple in the back of my book. Another thing to do is you can go to a bookstore or library, and you can look at the acknowledgement page inside books that are similar to yours or books that you respect and like. Often they're dedicated or acknowledging their literary agent, so that's sometimes a good fit. There are many, many excellent conferences, and I'm doing quite a few of them this year, American Society of Journalists and Writers, the Publicity Summit, Bradley Communications. They run great ones, as you know, Wendy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of regional writers groups. All of these places attract agents and editors to give speeches, run workshops, be on panels. You have to kind of get out there and be in the world of book publishing. Another great thing, we get most of our clients from other clients. You know, a lot of my doctors will say, oh, Marilyn, you got to talk to this one or that one or try this person. So word of mouth is a big leg up in this business.
I love it. I absolutely love it. So, okay. So aspiring authors reach out to you every day, Marilyn. I mean, and I'm sure that you have to turn down many more than you can ever accept, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, so what is the thing, I mean, the it, you know, that makes you say, yes, this one's mine?
The it moment. Well, not to be discouraging, but literary agents are just overwhelmed with submissions right now. Typically, we get 400 to 500 a day. It becomes virtually impossible to keep it all straight. So one of the key things to do is to use the subject line well. Grab my attention. So if I see an email with something intriguing like the accidental beekeeper, that one came into me last year, lessons from an accidental beekeeper. That intrigued me, and I don't have bees, but I do like to garden, and I thought, well, what is this? It was intriguing enough that I opened it up, and we ended up signing that woman. So you want to use every opportunity to get attention, to appeal to somebody, to sort of stand out in a very crowded space. What I most get irritated about is that a lot of the query letters are obviously sent to 50 people at one time.
Mm-hmm.
You feel a mass mailing, and I think, well, somebody else will grab that. I'm just going to delete it. Or that they haven't done any kind of homework. I'll get a query that says, this children's book, and we really don't do children's books, so you want to try to be professional and match the project to the right agent. The aha moment is when somebody just gets it right. They can write. They have a fresh idea. They understand publishing. They have some marketing ideas. Then we go, we have to talk to this person.
Right. Right. That sounds great. Does the fact that the people who are specifically listening to this interview are mostly doctors, right? Medical,
yes,
and dental. Do these doctors have a leg up because of their credentials?
Absolutely. They're professional people. They have, you know, great credentials. That is a huge leg up. I would absolutely put that into the subject line. This is the skinny diabetic by Dr. So-and-so. That kind of thing would definitely get our attention because we love health books in particular, Wendy. That's our sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
And that will get our attention.
Got it. I love it. You know, I mean, the one thing that everyone listening to this interview, doctors or not, the one thing they all share in common is a real deep desire to make a difference through their writing. So what can you tell them? Is there anything else you'd like to share before we close that would inspire them and help them to really get out there and make that difference?
I think the passion is everything, and try to have that come through, because when I connect with a passionate person, it just advances the conversation so much. We represent many, many doctors, and I think that if they can figure out a way to link in some of their professional organizations or some research at a major institution, they can figure out a way to frame what they're doing and what they're telling their patients every day in sort of a fun or new commercial way, I think they're going to find success.
I love it. I love it. Oh, and I just adore you, and I can't wait to see you. Those of you who would like
Thank
to meet
you.
Marilyn in person, she will be appearing and helping at Steve Harrison's Publicity Summit in April and again in October. Again, if you were in the Orlando conference or if you have the DVD, you know that you have a special invitation to join us there. If you're interested in learning more about that, that website is nationalpublicityfordoctors.com. Again, that's nationalpublicityfordoctors.com, and you can have a chance to meet Marilyn in person. Otherwise, again, if you are a client who has this information, you have Marilyn's personal email address. You are welcome to use that and reach out to her. Right, Marilyn?
That's right.
Perfect. And I want to encourage every single one of you to go out there and get on Amazon right now, whether you've written your book yet or not, and grab Marilyn's book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Book Proposals and Query Letters. Read this thing before you write your book, because it's going to really help shape the direction of your book. Isn't that true, Marilyn?
That's absolutely right. And I think what you said is so profound. Shaping and positioning is so important. If your new diet book, if your workbook is the 4-day work week, I mean, that is just fantastic. And look how well that sold. There's probably been 100 books on working less, but to come up with a 4-hour work week, I think, is brilliant.
Right.
And that's sort of the key here, shaping and positioning.
And they're going to learn that in your book, right?
That's right.
Oh, I love it. So, again, and they don't have to have a finished book to have a chance to consult with you, do they?
No. In fact, we work from proposals, and that's one of the reasons that publishers like proposals is it gives them a chance to be involved in the finished book and to move things and add input and their vision. So it's usually best not to finish the book, folks. Focus
yeah.
on the proposal.
Say that again, Marilyn. That's really important.
Work on the book proposal before you finish the book.
I love that. That is just such an important key thing. And I can't thank you enough for doing this interview with us, because this is going to make a huge difference for people. I know that's really important to you.
Oh, I hope so. We really like to work on books that make the world a little better. I mean that. That's our mission. So.
I know that's true about you. So, again, Marilyn Allen, thank you so much. And for the rest of you, I want to thank you for being a part of this. Oh, again, I want to invite you to join me on my Facebook page, facebook.com/shatteryourspeedlimits. Reach out to me. Tell me your questions. Keep up with the blog at shatteryourspeedlimits.com. If you have any questions, you can always find me at pro-impact.com. You know where to find me. I want to leave you with a message that all of you need to remember. At this time, especially in healthcare, when things are going a little bit crazy and you're stressed out of your mind and trying to figure out, how am I going to support my patients and my family and still have time left for me at the end of the day, let alone write a new book, I want to leave you with one piece to remind you that you can do this. Because if you make a decision right now, today, to never, ever settle for less than you truly want in your business or your life, you'll always make the right decision. Wishing you all the best in all you do, and we'll be talking with you very, very soon. Everybody, be well.